Hello, everybody. My name is Nolan Brewer, and welcome to Artist Corner. Today, I'm joined by a special guest, Brandon Boone.
Hey, everyone. How you doing?
If you're not familiar with Brandon Boone or his work, he's worked as a composer for games and podcasts such as Slay the Princess, Nightfall, This Book Will Kill You, the No Sleep Podcast, and more. And
that's it.
You've been in the industry for a while now. I read that you started in 2009 by scoring for audio dramas.
Yeah, so I would say I started in, if you want to go back to when I started this, it would be maybe 2009. I guess that sounds right. I'm not really sure, but yeah, I started with a there is a radio station here in Cincinnati that does, it's a radio station for the blind. And so they do like audio dramas and audio plays and that kind of thing. And I did like a volunteer thing with them. And so I would score their audio dramas with one specific director. And that's basically what became my resume to get onto the No Sleep podcast, which is a podcast that does audio dramas. So. It worked out that I had some kind of a show reel to show them. But yeah, maybe it is 2000. I actually have no idea. 2009 sounds right.
That's what sure. I read. I think I read that on the No Sleep podcast website.
Then it's probably right.
Speaking of, would you say that composing for podcasts can be different compared to games or other kinds of media?
Oh, 100%. I've worked on a few podcasts. No Sleep. I've written over 10,000 pieces of music for No Sleep. Over 10,000 pieces of music for No Sleep. So like that podcast is such a juggernaut in that how much we put out. We have a very specific system that we use. So other than that, it's kind of similar to video games in that you want to have something that can like loop and not be too distracting or something that's kind of malleable, I guess, and that the it depends on, like, I mean, man, that's tough because podcasts are so, it's a case by case thing because it's such an independent form of media that everyone I've worked for is run almost entirely different. So it's hard to say that any kind of like blanket statement across all of them. But so I would say in the grand scheme, they're very different, but video game scoring and podcast scoring are more similar than like film scoring for sure.
That's interesting. And sorry, would you say that, can I think about how I want to word this question really quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Would you say that after a while, did you ever reach out to people, or did people reach out to you to get you on their podcast?
So like I said, for No Sleep, I did reach out to No Sleep. I was a fan of that show before I joined it. The first few seasons, I was just a listener, and then the host and showrunner, David Cummings, he had mentioned that the show was becoming a lot of work. And so he, you know, was kind of lamenting that it's taking so much of his time and all of this kind of, you know, all these problems that he was kind of running into. And so I remember reaching out saying like, hey, if you want, I can help you with the music. So I kind of volunteered for a little bit with him. And then since then, I've been really lucky in that I haven't really had to seek anything. Everything I've worked on in one way or another has come because of the No Sleep podcast. People have just sought me out, whatever it is. They've found me. So yeah, for the most part, I would say people have come for me.
I think it probably works differently for everyone, and there might not be a wrong way of going about that.
Sure, yeah, I there are times where, you know, I think about how I want to work more in video games for sure. And so I do need to get better about reaching out and finding projects that could kind of blend well with my style, or, you know, we might get along, we might match the vibe, but I just haven't had the time to really try to do that yet. So sure, I'm sure I will one day. I mean, every creative industry is feast and famine, so, you know, I'll be searching one day, I'm sure.
Speaking of games, by the way, I love the Slay the Princess soundtrack. I've
Oh,
been
thanks so
listening
much.
to it,
Yeah.
and it's
Oh,
really good.
amazing. Thank you. I'm very happy with it. That whole project was a dream come true.
Yeah. I think my favorites on the soundtrack are, it's called, sorry, I'm gonna look at it really quick.
No, that's fine.
I Meant It. Is that one of them?
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
from
I
the
Meant It
Pristine Cut release.
and The Princess and the Dragon. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, those are the two. I knew people were gonna like those. So, Slay the Princess came out in 2023, and then we did the Pristine Cut edition, which added like 35% more game to the game and 18 new tracks to the soundtrack. And those two in particular, I even said to the fans ahead of time, I'm like, you guys aren't ready for these two. But without giving anything away about them, but yeah.
Yeah, right before this, I was actually noodling on my piano while listening to it, and I learned the
Oh,
chords of
really?
it. It was.
It's if you learn one song of Slay the Princess, you basically learn them all. It's all the same. There's two chord progressions, and if you learn those two, you figured it all out.
I also heard there was the shifting mound movement motif in Rhythm of the Flesh, and I thought that
It's
was really
all
interesting.
they're all intertwined. It's Slay the Princess is it is essentially one motif that is rearranged 100 times. It's just that's what Tony and Abby wanted, and it was a trial for sure. But so if you ever want to learn anything from that game, it's really easy because you just learn one thing and you just have to play it a little differently for everything else.
It's really simple, but at the same time, it's a lot more complex when you actually compose that kind of music. Because when you're listening to it, you can kind of hear it. I mean, it's a lot of the times when I've heard it, I've noticed it's a lot of simple chords, but the actual melodies and stuff like that is pretty
Yeah.
complicated.
Well, I appreciate that. I think yeah, there's like a bit of a syncopation to it and stuff, and the bass chords are meant to be really simple because the whole game is about loops. It's everything loops, and I don't know if you've played the game or just listened to the soundtrack, but the game itself is like you're looping through the same scenario with like 100 different, results. So it's all intentional. It's all meant to be like this very simple princess theme that can be turned into various other forms.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I haven't played the game yet, but I do really want to play it.
Sure.
I've been back and forth about it because honestly, it looks really scary to me, and I'm kind of scared to play it.
There are horror elements to it. I would say it's as scary as you choose it to be when you go into it. A lot of the horror is reactionary. So if you don't want anything scary, just don't choose anything scary to happen, You can go through
Well,
the game with relatively little violence, I think.
yeah, because it's a choice-based game, after all. Interesting. Is your favorite game score still Final Fantasy or Ocarina of Time?
Yeah, for sure. Final Fantasy VII will always be my number one, I think. Which is amazing because I just in the next few days here I'm on a project with Nobuo
Oh, wow.
Uematsu, which I can't believe is even something I can say out of my own face because it seems so surreal just to be involved with something with who I think is probably the greatest video game composer of all time. But yeah, like Final Fantasy VII and Ocarina of Time, I always list those two because I was maybe 12 when I played those games, and so it was very foundational to like my musical palette. It just I remember hearing this for the first time and being blown away.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm in college studying audio engineering, and in a class recently, we've been working on video game music for projects and stuff. And my professor showed us a video, and it had Nobuo in it, and he was talking about how he writes his music, and he writes a bunch of phrases of sheet music, I think, and then he kind of rearranges everything to fit a certain way.
That's actually kind of how I write music. So it's actually really cool to hear. Yeah, I just like I'll pick a key and I'll just write phrases and try to find a way to tie them together. So that's
Interesting.
yeah, great. I love that. That makes me feel a little validated.
Did you ever go to music school, or are you mostly self-taught?
Almost essentially all self-taught. I took like a few weeks of piano lessons when I was 26 when I wanted to start taking this more seriously, so 11 years ago. So apart from that, it's all self-taught.
Nice.
Which there's no better time to do that. Like I bought all of the Berklee School of Music like workbooks off of Amazon. You can just buy the books, so go through them yourself, you know.
Yeah.
I went to school for marketing, so no music background.
They also, it's crazy. There's some colleges even that post whole lectures on YouTube
Sure.
and you can just
Yeah.
watch them.
Yeah, there's oh, what's his school? The guy Mickelson.
Sorry, I'm not
His
familiar.
YouTube channel is amazing. Like I learned so much from YouTube, just
Yeah.
finding other composers to learn from.
Yeah. A great time for learning, self-learning.
Big time.
Do you ever see yourself getting back into guitar or learning another instrument?
Learning another instrument, sure. I do want to learn the guitar and be better at guitar. I don't even have any of my guitars in this place right now. But I will eventually. I will play guitar again. If I learned another instrument, it would probably just, I want to get better at the cello. I would just rather learn the cello, I think.
String instruments are a bit intimidating to me.
Really?
Yeah.
It's such a tonal thing with like I don't know. I feel like it's easier to pick up and figure out something that's fretless if you can just hear the pitch than like worrying. I don't know. I hate how guitar strings are tuned. It just I find it really annoying. But yeah, I think the cello or maybe I think I say the cello just because it's so versatile that I can use it in scores. Like that, I don't see it as like I want to learn the instrument because I love the instrument. I just want to learn it because I want to use it in various ways. Like the only thing I enjoy playing is the piano. So
Yeah.
that's my only instrument that I can say I can play the piano. I would not say I can play anything else. I can use other things, but I can't play them.
I think I relate to that. I think as composers too, you don't need to be the best at your instrument to make
Oh
great
God, no.
music.
Yeah, I would never suggest I'm anything like that. I would much rather hire somebody who's an actual musician to play what I've written, you know? Leave it to the pros.
Speaking of that, what are some resources that you've used to hire people? Have you ever used Fiverr?
Fiverr, no. Most of my the instrumentalists I hire are just like friends or people I've met through other friends. So you mentioned I Meant It. The violinist on there, Mateus, I use him for whenever I need a violin. Andrew is the cellist on it. And then another Andrew plays the woodwinds on or the flutes on Princess and the Dragon. Amelia does the vocals on it. Like I just have like a little toolbox of people that I know I can reach out to and get a pretty quick turnaround. Outside of that, I've worked with Musiversal for orchestras and that kind of stuff.
I'm gonna write that down. I've never heard of it.
Musiversal is really cool. You basically like tell them how much time you need with how many players, and they just kind of assign an orchestra to you. So through them, I've used Budapest Strings and the Czech National Symphony Orchestra.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's a really they handle so much of it, and they just deliver the stems or the Pro Tools project whenever they're done.
Nice. Do you ever work with a hybrid of orchestral and synthesizers?
Oh yeah, that's I would like outside of a very small few tracks, I would say is 100% live. I'm in the box almost entirely. I try to get instruments on when I can, when there's a budget for it or time for it. But even I mean most of everything on Slay the Princess outside of the live version of the Princess and the Damsel, those are the only two that I can think of that are 100% live instruments. Everything else has a little something from other stuff.
The main thing I'm assuming that would be tricky with that is the budget. It can be really
Sure.
expensive.
It can be very expensive. Yeah. So individual players, you know, they range from, I'm sure you can find them on Fiverr, all the way to thousands of dollars. Like it's the range is crazy. It just depends on, who and what they'll do for you.
Yeah.
But I do think it's worth if you have a track and you have the time and the money for it to get a live instrument on there, it elevates it to another level.
Oh yeah. It's also, I feel like it's probably a whole nother thing with mixing live orchestra too, compared to plugins.
Oh yeah. It's a totally different ball game, and I don't wish that on anyone. I'm not a mixing engineer. I'm not a sound engineer. I like to write the music, and outside of that, I don't really enjoy, nor am I great at any other part of it. So it's a lot. I had to like re rely on a lot of other people's ears and talents to help me, get the orchestra sounding the way I wanted it to sound, with the phasing and everything like that. It's just there's so much minutia to all of that, and it drives me insane.
I relate to that a lot. As another music composer, and mixing is something I've put a lot more focus in, and I think feedback is something that really helps. And
You have
getting
to
it from the
know.
right people too.
You have to you're I think that's one thing I've definitely learned as I've gone on in my career is like I've got my pocket of people that I can send stuff to for a quick reference, like, hey, how does this sound? And they'll be like, I mean, I've got engineer friends like my buddy Phil. I can send him a track and he'll just send me an EQ preset to slap on it and be like, here, this fixes it.
That's awesome. EQ is really tricky sometimes.
That's why I trust other people who I think are better at it than myself.
What's the food like in Cincinnati?
Oh, very German. We have a super strong German heritage here. We're known for our skyline chili, which is like people will laugh at it. It's not like they call it chili, but it's not really a chili. It's more like a Greek, like a meat sauce over
That sounds good.
spaghetti. Yeah, I love it. It's like a love it or hate it kind of thing. But outside of like the Cincinnati chili meme, a lot of German food. But I mean, there's everything here. You can get anything here. But there's what makes it unique is probably the German food.
I'm looking at a picture of it and it looks, I don't know,
Awful.
it looks interesting. I'll
You
say
looking at
that.
a three-way, the spaghetti one or the cheese coney?
I don't know. I looked up Cincinnati chili.
Is it on a hot dog or is it on pasta?
There's a lot, yeah, there's pasta and there's a lot of cheese.
Yeah, a ton of cheese, a mountain of cheese. Yep.
It looks
That's called a
interesting.
three-way. Yeah.
I'd try it.
Sure. And it like I said, when I have people visit out of town, we always get it, and it's a pretty mixed bag of reactions.
I think it'd be interesting if you melted the cheese on it.
I mean, it will start to melt. It's like it comes up. You're supposed to put the cheese on immediately so it gets a little bit melty, and there's some hot sauce and crackers on there too.
Ooh, that
Yeah.
does sound good. If you could time travel back to when you started making music, what would you tell yourself about being a composer?
That's tough. Outside of being afraid to say anything and messing up where I've found myself, because I'm really happy with where I found myself in my career, if I can make sure I don't mess that up no matter what I say, I would say to embrace what makes me, like instead of trying to impress other people with like technically or something like that, just write the music that you like to write and what you think sounds good to you and embrace that part of you. Don't worry about impressing somebody with like your technical ability to modulate key and time signatures a billion times for a piece of music. It's not as impressive as you might think it is. At least not like that's what I would tell myself. I'm sure there are other people who disagree, but just stick with what you think sounds good and lean into that.
Yeah. I think that's something I find myself, 'cause I think I'm more at the beginning of my career and I'm still learning a lot about these things, and I can find myself maybe on the opposite side of that.
And I don't think there's nothing wrong with thinking like, oh, I want to see if I can write a track that changes time signature, you know, every two measures or whatever. Like, there's nothing wrong with putting yourself into these constraints to explore creativity. I love doing that. I wrote something in, what was it? 25/8 the other day,
Whoa.
just because that's the way the melody worked out. I know it sounds really dumb. It was just like, you know, I needed so many counts of three and then a count of four, and it was easier to have Logic think it was 25/8. Like there's nothing wrong with exploring those things, or, you know, I key modulate all the time, but it's more of like an instinct thing because I work in
Yeah.
horror a lot, so I'm breaking out of key a lot on purpose. So there's, I mean, it's more about, for me, it's more about explore the ideas that rather than force the ideas to try. It's about impressing other people. I don't think that benefits anybody. I think it's,
Yeah.
you're not being true to yourself.
Yeah. I think I've fallen into that before, but I think I'm really grateful to have friends who have given me good advice.
Sure.
And I think if I focus more on just expressing myself rather than what I want someone else to hear, then that's better.
I think, yeah, self-expression should be the primary thing. And if you do that, the people who will want to work with you are going to want to work with you because of your self-expression. They'll want your sound, you know?
Yeah, and that goes for anyone else listening.
Exactly. Yeah. Embrace what makes you you. Be the best version of yourself, not the second best version of somebody else.
For people starting out in music production, what are some synths or equipment that you'd recommend?
Oh, Omnisphere. That's like the number one. If you can afford Omnisphere, wait till it goes on sale. Like, it has so much. It really is like a massive toolbox that has everything, and
Yeah.
you can make anything in it.
I laughed because I use that all the time.
Yeah, it's got to be my number one most used thing. I would say, oh, man, there's a whole section of the internet that I would hate to hear this, but I wouldn't worry about hardware.
Yeah.
Software is amazing now. There are people who claim that software is just as good as hardware at this point. I mean, I've got my Moog behind me and stuff, but I don't really use it all that much anymore. I don't really need to. It's more for, I like hardware. I've got my piano here too. Like, I have acoustic instruments and hardware instruments, but it's more about the tactile feeling of working with something real to explore ideas. I never mic up this piano. I find the idea on the piano, then I go open up one of the 400, you know, piano VSTs I have and just record it in the box because it's gonna sound better anyway. I would recommend just getting like Omnisphere is a good one, but there are cheaper ones. I mean, there's a ton of free ones too. Like,
Yeah.
the Labs stuff from Spitfire is great. There's so many free instruments or cheap ones. Spitfire has a lot of cheap and free stuff that I like.
You can go on
Anything that
KV
works in Kontakt, yeah.
you can go on KVRaudio.com and filter for free plugins.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Like, and that's just more stuff to explore with. I've got a trillion VSTs that I have and don't use, but it's nice that that's like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I haven't used this in a while. I'll see what this is like. But I think if you're going to spend money on, like, if you're like, I want to invest in one thing to start with, Omnisphere
Omnisphere.
is just, it's just everything. It's got every kind of sound you can imagine.
Yeah. It works with
Outside
so
of
many
my,
different styles.
yeah, it really does. And it's got like, what I like about Omnisphere is like whacking a stick against a tree into an instrument. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many sounds in there that you can utilize in different ways. It doesn't, I don't think maybe it's maybe not the best for like realistic strings. I don't use it for that. But short of that, it's great for everything else.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. I've managed to write a piece that sounded pretty decent with
Oh,
realistic
really?
or realistic sounding strings.
Are you able to control the like expression and dynamics pretty easily with it, or?
I think I was really lucky and just got it sounding good right out of the
Oh,
box.
okay. Well, there you go. See, you don't even just get Omnisphere and you're fine. I guess the one thing you run into that's a risk with Omnisphere is like everybody uses it.
Yeah.
So it'll sound like you might, I hear songs all the time that I'm like, I know that preset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah, I've done that too. I love the arpeggiator in it though.
Yeah, it's great.
You can make,
Control the velocity and everything.
yeah, you can get a lot of creative stuff with that. Do you think where you are influences the art you make at all?
Where I am physically?
Yeah.
I think so. I just moved here into this apartment, so it's like I chose this location because I can see the city and it's really inspirational, and it like I'm very much I have to take in things to put out things. So I have to be fueled with, paintings or drawings or music or views or movies or whatever. Like I have to take in things, and then I think about it, and it like inspires me to write things for myself.
I think I relate to that.
I think it's good to like, I mean, it's hard to sit in a basement and only look at like beige walls or whatever and feel
Yeah.
creative.
For sure. Is there a style of music you haven't tried making but see yourself doing in the future?
Haven't tried making. It's tough. I've done a lot of different styles. I mean, there's a lot that I haven't done that I have no desire to ever do. I really want to start writing like electronica, like EDM. I get to do some like electronica, like adjacent stuff or like industrial kind of stuff for some projects. But it's just like part of my youth that I miss is just like techno and stuff like that. I just want to write that. That's what I started writing when I was getting into music. And then once I got into scoring, it kind of fell to the wayside. So I would love to get back into that.
Have you ever listened to jungle music,
Oh
the
yeah, I love
break
jungle
beat?
music. Yeah, breakbeat jungle drum and bass. That was huge when I was in my early 20s.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the Bomberman Heroes soundtrack? It's kind of random.
No.
It's an old Nintendo 64 game, and it's got
Okay.
a great soundtrack. I really
Look it up.
recommend it.
I'll check it out. Is it jungle?
Yeah, it's jungle. It's got jungle, breakbeat, all that.
Wow. That's awesome. Okay. Yeah, definitely check that out.
It's something that inspired me as of recently.
Sure. Yeah, I still listen to jungle, and there's a drummer I follow on Instagram who just live drums drum and bass and jungle music. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think live jungle is insane because of how fast it is. I think a
Yeah,
lot of
it's really
jungle uses
impressive.
samples, so
Oh,
it's
they all
really.
do. Yeah. This guy, like that whole genre is based around drum machines and
Yeah.
MPC players and stuff like that, and he's playing physical drums in a way to sound like a drum machine. It's crazy.
Yeah. Can you send me that after so I can link
Yeah,
it?
absolutely. Yeah.
I'll link it for other people to check out too.
For sure.
Are there any recent games whose soundtrack has surprised you?
Oh, I mean,
Or
Alan Wake, obviously.
Or
Kind of
film or TV?
biased. I love the Nosferatu soundtrack. I thought that was really good. I liked the it's not recent, it's more recent to me in the past few years, but like I wouldn't say it's a contender for my favorite video game soundtrack of all time. I can never overthrow Final Fantasy VII or Ocarina of Time, but the Little Nightmares soundtrack,
Oh yeah.
I love it. I've reached out to Tobias and like sang his praises to him. I think it's an amazing soundtrack. It's so good, and I
Yeah.
love how he uses the same motifs in different ways. Like it was hugely inspirational to me for Slay the Princess.
There's a third one now, right?
It's coming out, yeah. It's
Oh
coming out
yeah.
this year, I believe. But yeah, Alan Wake obviously is amazing.
Did you ever play
I'm
two?
trying to think. I have. I haven't beaten it yet.
Yeah, me
I
too.
need to though. Amelia, who was on the Slay of the Princess, she sings in that soundtrack, so I've gotta play that.
It's a really good soundtrack. Have you ever not played a game for a long time and then went back to it?
Oh yeah.
How do
Yeah.
you? I get really intimidated when I do
Oh, I quit.
that.
I just give up. I don't do it. Like I tried it with The Witcher 3 and I forgot how that game worked, and I was like, well, not gonna play this anymore.
Well, I guess you could just restart the game, but there's some games that are so long.
Yeah. I like the idea of it sometimes. I try to do it with Final Fantasy VII a lot. But it's just I'm like
Yeah.
The memories are good enough. I don't need to do it again.
Yeah. If a game is really good, then I might replay it again. But
Yeah. Or excuse me.
you're good.
Or if it's like if the like undertaking of it is simple enough, I wanted to play Baldur's Gate 3 again.
That's a
But I
really long
know
game.
I that's the problem. I'm like, okay, do I really want to commit, or Elden Ring? Do I want to commit 100 hours to this? And it's just like, I don't think I think I can only do that once. I can only do that game one time. Whereas like I can play Little Nightmares every year because you can beat it in a, couple days.
Yeah. I heard a lot of people when the Resident Evil 3 remake came out, I heard it was short, and that's why a lot of people didn't like it. But
That's another game. The Resident Evil 4 remake. I played that. That's a replay. I played through that game back to back to back like four times. That
dang.
game was amazing. I love Resident
Yeah.
Evil 4. Yeah.
I'm sad. I probably should have played the original game before I've been playing the remake, but it's
I didn't.
for some reason with old games, the controls are what gets me the most.
Sure, yeah. I guess I mean I grew up on those games, so like that's just like tapping into part of my brain that's like, oh, I remember how these like tank controls work.
Yeah. I think I finally got over it recently because I've been emulating Silent Hill, the first one.
Sure. That's another game I want to pick up is the Silent Hill 2 remake.
Yeah, it's really good. I would
That's what I
say
heard. Yeah.
I'd wait until it goes on sale. I got it on sale for $56.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely keep an eye out for that.
Are there any horror movies or shows that you're looking forward to?
Looking forward to. I want to see Companion. I want to see The Monkey.
I'm gonna write this down.
I just recently saw Heretic. I loved Nosferatu. Last year was a great year for horror films.
I've heard a lot about that movie.
Nosferatu was amazing. Oddity was amazing. Strange Darling was my favorite movie of last year. Of a Violent Nature. These were all absolute bangers from last year. What else did I see? I don't know. It's I'm bad at looking forward to things. Yeah, I try to like I don't really see much about what's coming out until it's already happening, and then I just go see it. So
Yeah,
I've
that's
already
fair.
The Substance was another great one from last year. So I'm
I
like,
heard
yeah,
about
I'm
that
looking
one.
forward to The Companion. The Substance
Yeah.
is great. I'll never watch it again, but it's really good.
My friend told me it was really good.
Yeah.
That's another thing. I learn a lot about movies and stuff from friends because I'm not
Sure.
necessarily a movie person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I love movies, but I don't just go out and watch it necessarily.
Sure.
Sorry, can I think for a second?
Yeah, you're fine.
What are some quotes that have changed the way you think about creativity or life?
Oh my God. So it's kind of a, I'm gonna kind of cheat with the I'm gonna reiterate the when you asked me what to tell myself when I was younger to be the best version of yourself rather than being the second best version of somebody else. I was told that by the Newton brothers who were very inspirational to me and still are. They're an incredible duo.
They seem cool.
That was an amazing thing to hear and like just trusting your gut. I'm trying to think of like actual quotes. I have a bunch. Oh man, I'd have to like get back to you on that 'cause I don't like I have stuff like written down places, but I don't I'm like faltering to remember anything. Also
No
some of them are just
worries.
kind of like mean. Like I'm pretty tough love on myself like don't give up, you big baby. Just keep going. What are you gonna do? Quit? You know that kind of stuff. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if anyone's ever told me anything outside of them that's been like life changing. I mean, there's a bunch of different things. Like, you hear little things. One other one that stands out is Danny Elfman and his master class has a ton of stuff that he talks about. Like again, it always goes back to like trusting your gut. Everyone's afraid of a project at the start. Everyone's afraid of the
Yeah.
blank page. No one knows what they're doing. Everyone's scared to see what people think of their music or their work or anything like that. Like, everyone feels the same. There's no reason to feel like what you're going through is all that different. One that helped me was I was doing the Herbie Hancock masterclass, and he was like, he remember he was talking about the first film he scored, and he was watching it in the theater, and he was like mad at how low the music was in the mix. And so you kind of have to get used to, like, you're playing a part. Like, you're part of a greater whole. You know what I mean? So it's not about you, it's about the project. Don't let your ego get in the way and think that, the music has to be the best part of everything.
You think it's okay to still write music for yourself, though?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I used to not do that. I never really had the inclination to write it for myself. I would always wait for a project to tell me what to do. I'm really good with direction, and if you need me to make something that sound a certain way, I can absolutely do that for you. But if someone's like, "Why don't you write, what are you feeling right now? Write about that." I'll just freeze up. I have no idea what to do. I've been getting better about that, though. I'm like kind of forcing myself to explore my own thoughts and feelings and try to get that into some kind of sonic form.
I think that's something I do a lot. And I think I'm proud of myself for not being
For writing for
afraid.
yourself? Yeah, absolutely. You should. Absolutely should. Embrace it. Lean into
I will.
it. Vulnerability is the best part of any kind of creative endeavor.
Yeah, that's something I even try to do with the show. Sometimes I think, obviously, it's still an interview, but I also try to give my own thoughts and feelings on
Sure, of
things
course.
from time to time.
Yeah, you should. It's your show. It's part of you, so you should absolutely do that, I think. Yeah.
I think that's what makes the show unique too.
Of course. Yeah, any if it is your show, anything that makes it about your what you do or like or care about, it's going to add to it being unique, and it's going to stand out from other people's things,
Thank you. You've mentioned before that people such as Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross are your influences. Do you think that your influences have changed over time?
Oh, certainly. And that isn't to say that they're not my influences anymore. There are certain composers who I will always fall back to in times of needing inspiration. The benefit of Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross or Johnny Greenwood, who are probably my top two. Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross are one thing, and then Johnny Greenwood is another thing. So, like, those are the two artists that I go back to the well the most because I really appreciate their writing style, as different as they are. So there's no, I know I can find inspiration in their work, but absolutely, I find new bands, new artists, new composers all the time. And the benefit of, like, I was going to say, the benefit of those guys is that they're still writing music. So there's new stuff coming out that you can discover, whereas, like, I don't know, my favorite, like, classical composer is Chopin. He's dead, so he doesn't write anymore. So I'm very limited what I can go back and get from him. Whereas, who the new discoveries are great because that you find a new well that you can pull from.
Yeah.
Like another one that's been huge for me recently is this band Health. I think they're awesome. They're like an industrial band, so it's
I'm gonna write them down.
kind of akin to Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor kind of sound. What else? I'd have to grab my phone to see what else I've been listening to. But yeah, any like th I think it's influences for me change a lot because it's based on the project I'm working on. So if I'm, if I'm working on the like No Sleep and it's like horror stories, I'll listen to horror soundtracks. I'll listen to the Nosferatu soundtrack. I'll listen to something to like get me in the mood for that and start playing with those ideas. And then if it's Scarlet Hollow, a video game, like I'll switch that to like I'll listen to Disaster Piece's
Oh,
Hyperlight
nice.
Drifter, something like that.
Yeah.
He's a huge inspiration of mine for sure.
Me too. And I was
Yeah.
really lucky to have him on the show too a couple of
Oh, did
times.
you really? Amazing.
Yeah.
He seems like a really nice guy. I was supposed to meet him last year, but I didn't go to the conference, so maybe this year.
Yeah. Wait, you're going to GDC, right? I am too. Let's
Yep, I'll see
go.
you there. Yep. I booked my flight and hotel this past week.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. I'm a little nervous, honestly, for the actual conference part.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be a nightmare.
But I'm excited to hang out with friends and people.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the best part.
Yeah.
Just meet people.
Sorry, can I think for a second?
No, yeah, you're fine.
Would you mind explaining the story about how you got onto the Slay the Princess soundtrack?
Oh, sure. So Slay the Princess, from Abby and Tony at Black Tabby Games. Again, I know them from the No Sleep podcast. Abby did artwork for the No Sleep podcast, and I met them at a live show in person for the first time a trillion years ago, and like befriended them. So, in 2020, when they told me, "Hey, we're gonna make a video game called Scarlet Hollow. We need someone to do the music. Do you want to do the music?" I was like, "Hell yeah, I do! Like, I would love to do a video game." And they're two of the most talented people I've ever met in my life. So to work with a chance to work with them is an absolute dream. So they brought me on for Scarlet Hollow. We did Scarlet Hollow is an episodic game, so it's still in early access technically. There are 4 of 7 episodes out right now. We're working on episode 5. That's all I can say about that. And so after episode 4, they had told me, "Hey, we're going to take a small break from Scarlet Hollow. It's a lot of work. Like, the storylines are crazy in that game. So we're going to take a little sabbatical side project time over the summer. We're going to do this fun little game called Slay the Princess. Nothing too crazy." So it was like this really small side game that they wanted to do. And then it just so I would call myself their composer, like Black Tabby Games composer. So they were just like, they just tell me what we're working on next. And I was like, okay. So it was Slay the Princess was next. And then it just blew up.
I'm gonna wish this Scarlet Hollow on my Steam page after this
The
too.
episode 1 is free to play. So you can
And I
try it out,
recommend
see if you
everyone
like it.
else should check it out.
Absolutely.
What's something that you can't live without as a composer?
Coffee. Easiest answer, easiest question. What a softball that was.
Didn't have to think about it.
Didn't have to think. My espresso machine's right there. I'm looking at it right now. I can't live without it.
Dang. It's always interesting when the conversation about coffee comes up because I don't drink coffee.
Oh,
And
wow.
even if I do, it doesn't do anything for me.
Consider yourself lucky because I am dependent on it at this point in my life.
You ever drink decaf? I'm guessing not.
No. 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 I mean, I like the idea of having a decaf. Like, if I'm out and about and it's like later in the evening, but I still want the taste of coffee, I'll get it. But for me, it's like, I know coffee's like, it stains your teeth and stuff like that. I just like, I don't see the, if I'm not getting energy from it, I like the taste, but if I'm not getting energy from it, I'm not gonna like brown my teeth for no reason. Come on.
It's funny because the only reason I ever drink coffee is for the taste.
Oh, really? I mean, the taste is good. Like, I get coffee flavored ice cream. Like, I love the flavor,
Oh, yeah.
but I want the boost.
Yeah. Have you ever had Kona flavored ice cream coffee? Or
No.
ice cream flavored Kona coffee? That's what I meant.
Ice cream
It's pretty
flavored. I
good.
never heard of it. I'll
It's
check it out.
good. Or pistachio ice cream, but
Love pistachio ice cream.
that's not
Yeah.
coffee.
No, I do love pistachio. I'll eat pistachio flavored anything though.
It's really healthy for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Even if it's ice cream.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Is there anything else you're looking forward to this year? I realize I asked that already, but
But or I mean, yeah, for like projects and stuff I'm working on, I'm looking forward to Scarlet Hollow episode 5. Like all the projects I'm currently working on, No Sleep, everything like that's great. A few other projects I can't talk about that I'm looking forward to, but
Working with Nobuo.
working with Nobuo, I don't know much about. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to Little Nightmares or Little Nightmares 3 and
Oh, yeah.
Reanimal, because I think Little Nightmares 3 is a different development team. Reanimal is the original development team making their own version of Little Nightmares, so I'm excited about that.
And it's multiplayer too, right?
I think so. Yeah,
That'll be
I
interesting.
believe so. So other than that, I'm not really sure. I'm excited to be. I'm traveling a lot this year again, so I'm excited to meet new people and find more projects to work on. I
Yeah.
just like to work. I just sit in this room and work, and I love it.
I'm the same way, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a good thing to have because people need music.
Yeah. I do think I can probably go out a bit more.
Sure.
Have
Nothing wrong with that.
you ever struggled with that yourself? Because sometimes I find myself not having enough reasons to go out on my own.
I would say I don't really go out on, like I'll go out on my own if I'm like walking around or something like that, or I'll go to a park or ride my bike or something. But short of that, I mean, I've got an 8-year-old daughter, so like I'm out if I'm not working, I'm with her or at the gym or getting groceries, running errands, whatever. It's like there's not really, I don't find myself sitting around trying to figure out what to do very often. There's always something I have to tend to, so.
Yeah. Interesting. I think for me, I just get insecure because I think I need more sun.
Sun is important. You can get one of those little
Yeah.
happy lights or whatever to simulate. I mean, you're in Hawaii, right? You guys get a lot
Get
of sun. I mean, it rains a lot,
a
but you
lot
guys
of
get a
sun
lot
when
of
I go to
sun.
school, so that's
Yeah,
good.
there you go. Like that, there's a window right next to you, blasting sun in there. You got plenty of sun.
Yeah. Well, I think that's gonna wrap it up for today's
Okay.
episode, unless there's anything
Nice.
else in particular you want to talk about.
I am a empty vessel just
Well,
responding to questions at this point.
then I guess that wraps things up. If you
Awesome.
guys want to check out Brandon's work, you can listen to his music on all major streaming platforms such as Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Bandcamp, and a bunch of other places, I'm sure. But you can also follow him on Instagram. And are you on anywhere else too? Sorry, I'm not sure.
I'm on Blue Sky, Brandon Boone on Blue Sky. I have a Twitter, but I don't use it anymore.
Yeah, me too.
That guy sucks, so I'm not going to use his platform anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, I short of actually deleting that account, I'm just on. I use Blue Sky a little bit. It's mostly Instagram. Try not to spend too much time on those things.
Yeah, me too. It's interesting you say that. I also thought about deleting my Twitter account,
Yeah.
but I'm just private in it for now.
Sure, that's smart. Smart.
Anyway, thanks everyone for listening, and I hope you can learn something from today's episode. And thanks, Brandon, for joining me. I'll see you guys next time. We love
Thank
you.
you. Awesome. I'll stop my recording.